brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Old Testament text last week, we heard about God's appointed speaker, Moses, and how the people of Israel spoke against not only God, but also Moses as God's chosen speaker. At the beginning of the book of Hebrews, we learned that long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Our text this morning continues to differentiate between the prophets and priests of the Old Testament and our ultimate high priest, our Lord Christ Jesus. Our youth catechism students have been learning about the threefold office of Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. Jesus was the last great prophet because he made the last prophecies regarding the end times, and he himself fulfilled God's plan for our justification. Jesus was and continues to be our king, continuing to rule over the world from his place, seated at the right hand of God, from which he will come to judge the living and the dead. Today's text from Hebrews demonstrates how Jesus was the ultimate high priest in making the sacrifice for our sins, even though he himself had never sinned. This is in contrast to every other priest, as the author of Hebrews tells us at the beginning of our text. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. None of the Old Testament priests chose to become priests. They were appointed to this duty just as descendants of Aaron, just as Aaron himself was appointed to that vocation. This appointment had continued from the Old Testament times in Leviticus all the way up to the New Testament times of Jesus himself, and even here to this author writing Hebrews. That's how the author of Hebrews can write in the present tense that the high priest can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward. This author of Hebrews was making the point that the chief priest to whom some of his hearers, as Jews or Jewish converts to Christianity, had looked, or were still looking, had been chosen by God. Those priests had been chosen by God. Yet they had been chosen to fill the part of a priest for only a designated amount of time. Their office was not to be an eternal one. The way that the author knew this was because the chief priests were all sinners. They were all human beings. They had to offer sacrifices for their own sins, just as they did for the people. But now, the author was pointing out, a priest had come who had made a once-for-all sacrifice as one without sin. In the same way, the prophets of the Old Testament didn't choose to become prophets either. Moses was called by God, but backed out, saying that his brother Aaron was a better speaker. Jonah was called, but he fled until he was swallowed alive by that great fish. But there were false prophets in the Old Testament times, about whom God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. They were not called by God, but spoke whatever they wanted to speak. They were not appointed as prophets, but chose to go. As with the prophets, pastors today do not choose to become pastors. Sure, men choose to go to the seminary, but they do not become pastors until they have received a call to a congregation. One of the earliest examples of this is in Acts chapter 13, where God the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. If you've been to an ordination service recently, you've seen how the brothers place their hands on a fellow under shepherd as he takes his vows to serve in the call that God has appointed him to. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Once again, the Old Testament priests and prophets did not choose to be made God's instruments. Jesus also did not exalt himself. Rather, he humbled himself, becoming a man. As a man, he did not always demonstrate his godly power and knowledge. Rather, he served. It was at his baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration that God begot him, just as it had been prophesied before in Psalm 2. In a state of humiliation, Jesus was begotten and made a priest after the order of the Genesis priest, Melchizedek. This was also prophesied before in Psalm 110. Remember last week how Moses had interceded for the people of Israel, both when they had made the golden calf at the base of Mount Sinai, and also when God had sent the fiery serpents among them. Jesus also offered up prayers and supplications, both for the people, but also for himself, that the cup of his death might be taken from him. He prayed this of his Father, who was able to save him from death, and he was heard. Luther wrote of Jesus praying that in the same manner he also fulfilled the third part of the priestly office, intercessory prayer. Along with and beyond his sacrifice, Christ also prayed to God the Father in our behalf. Yet it's when Moses prayed that the servants would be taken from the people and God left them there, God did not answer Jesus' prayer as he desired either. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus humbled himself to death, even the death on a cross. He prayed to God that the cup would be taken from him, but he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And Jesus went to the cross and died for your sin. Because Jesus humbled himself to death, even death on the cross, his Father would raise him from the dead. After he'd revealed himself to his apostles, his Father would have him ascend into heaven to be seated at the right hand. From thence he would come to judge the living and the dead. This would happen at the end of time. In the meantime, Jesus continues to offer prayer for his church, continuing to act as mediator between God and you and me. He also continues to speak to his church through his word, as we hear in Luther's Small Catechism. As prophet, Christ, through the preached gospel today, still proclaims himself to be the Son of God and Redeemer of the world. As Jesus himself said in the Gospel of Luke, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So Jesus continues to be our prophet and king, having fulfilled his duty as priest in his once-for-all sacrifice on the cross. We continue to hear his word in the proclamation of the law and the gospel, and we continue to live under his reign as king, even now. Yet living under his reign will be even better once he has come again, judged, and we enter into that new heaven and new earth with him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.